and Apex Lab Podcast. Hey there, welcome to the Level Up Engineering Podcast, where we speak to the most experienced technology leaders from around the world. So stay with us to learn actionable management insights to take your engineering team to the next level. This show is powered by Apex Lab, a team of experts in end-to-end digital product development. ApexLab.io.
Hi, everyone. I am Carolina Toth, and this is the Level Up Engineering Podcast. Today, I have here with me one guest who is a veteran for us. She's been on the show twice before, and we had really great conversations about performance and about COVID and about software development trends. So follow Camille. Today, my guest is Camille Fournier. She is managing director at Two Sigma for platform engineering. And today we are planning on talking about leading platform engineering teams. We will start with all the definitions of making sure that we are on the same page. But first of all, Camille, please tell us a few words about yourself so that if there are some people who have been living under a rock can know that who you are.
Sure. Yeah. Well, thank you for having me. So I'm Camille. I am currently leading platform engineering at Two Sigma. Prior to that, I was the CTO of a startup in New York City called Rent the Runway, which actually I think is filing to go public soon. So that's like I guess I can't call them a startup anymore, but they were definitely a startup while I was there. I'm also an author. So I wrote the book, The Manager's Path, and I regularly sort of blog and you know publish articles in various places on the topic of management, engineering leadership, architecture, occasionally platforms, product leadership in those areas. So I live in New York City. I have a couple of kids. I like to travel when it's not COVID times. So I'm sort of hoping to get back to that even more next year. And I'm thrilled to be here.
We are so happy to have you and thank you for joining us again. And without further ado, I think we should get into the nitty-gritty of defining a platform team to begin with. What is it and how do companies utilize it?
Sure. So at least at Two Sigma, and I think this is becoming a somewhat more common term, the platform team really is the software infrastructure portion of the team. So it's a little bit separated. Historically, you might have called teams like this infrastructure engineering, but infrastructure engineering tends to really be about like physical infrastructure, at least historically. Nowadays, everybody's in the cloud a lot more, so that's changing as well. But at least for Two Sigma, and I think many other companies, platform is really the team that builds a lot of the shared software infrastructure. So things like your Kubernetes, you know, clusters, right? And the people that understand and sort of tailor Kubernetes to the needs of your company, or the software that you use as glue software for your public cloud usage, right? Your software development tools, if you have any kind of bespoke, you know, build and test platform, sometimes that lives inside of platform teams. It lives inside of my platform team. We have a lot of bespoke storage tools that we have built sort of from scratch and on top of open source offerings and again in the cloud. So those are like some of the sort of sprinkling of things that a platform team might do. Really, it's anything that, you know, that is used by more than one part of your engineering team, right? So what I like to say for my team here is like, we don't build things that are just for like one other engineering team. We build things that we expect to be used by multiple different groups, whether it's multiple different engineering teams or multiple different parts of the business, but it's not supposed to be kind of just bespoke one-off tools for people.
Mm-hmm. So if you can maybe share a little bit about what Two Sigma does and how the platform team is kind of built into the operation, I think that might help us get a better understanding.
Yeah, absolutely. So Two Sigma, we're a sort of financial sciences company is kind of one of the taglines we like to use, but we do a lot of different financial related things that are very heavily technology driven. So the sort of core of the business is quantitative hedge fund, where they build models of markets to trade. But there's also, an insurance business that's sort of a separate business that we've built. We have a platform for investment allocators that we've built. We have work in private investments and real estate and impact investing and all of those different areas. One of the common cores of them is that they are all very much technology driven pieces of work, right? So the expectation is we're sort of combining a scientific mindset, a technology driven mindset to approach different kinds of financial opportunities and challenges.
Right. So if you talk about platform teams, can we maybe talk about product teams so that we can see the difference in structure and in how the work might get to their tables or their computers and what their focus areas might be and how they're different?
Yes. So I think one of the differences of a company like Two Sigma from many other sort of techie companies is that we don't have like a huge external audience that we're building software for, right? So when I was at Rent the Runway, for example, we were building consumer product, right? So you would go to the website or you would go to the app and you would use that to rent clothing. And so a lot of the software that we built was really built from a product perspective, right? So we were building features of the app, features of the website, you know, features of the experience that were built in software to encourage people to rent and, you know, help them make it easier, all of that. And so I think for many people, when they're thinking of product engineering, they tend to go all the way to that kind of consumer element, right? Where you're building for this large group of people that you don't really exactly know who they are, right? You have thousands, tens of thousands, millions, billions, depending on the size of your company, right? People using your software, and you're not going to get like individualized feedback. So you sort of have these product managers, and part of their job is understanding those users as groups and what they might want and helping to sort of figure out with engineering, okay, what can we build to service them? So it's a little bit different in most of Two Sigma in that most of our customers, even for the more quote unquote product focused teams, are internal. So while I'm building internally for customers who are mostly other engineers at this company might be building for people who are in the compliance team, right? Or for people who are building those mathematical models themselves. So in that sense, I have kind of a very broad customer base. They have more specified and tailored customer bases, but they are internal customers still. So they're people that they can really go and talk to, understand kind of what they want, what they're looking for, the problems they're trying to solve, and build things really specifically to meet their needs. So I think the difference really is that from, you know, between platform and product, both at this company and then sort of more largely, is that, you know, platform tends to be building to support the people inside of the company. If you have a lot of internal customers and you can actually talk to them and get a much clearer sense of what they at least think that they want. And then with product teams, you may have internal customers, you may have external customers, but you're doing a lot more translation of business goals or product goals or experience goals into software, where in some sense, you have to do a lot more translation to actually figure out what should we really build, because it's sometimes a little bit less obvious what it is that the people actually want, because translating a business idea or a user need into software is not always, you know, an easy thing to do when your customers aren't engineers themselves.
Right, right. So with that said, it sounds like if you're in a platform team, you can't rely on customer support, for example, to go out and get their data for you. You kind of have to go out and find the data for yourself. So my question, this might be a leading question with that preface, but what kind of skills do you have to watch out for if you're hiring for a platform team versus if you're hiring for a product team member?
Yeah, so I actually think that what I've learned in leading platform organizations is that, first of all, I'm actually a big believer in having product managers even in your platform team. So I have a group of product managers here in my platform organization. They're super valuable because it is really a full-time job, even in us, you know, not a huge company, to work with customers, understand what they want, work with engineers, and sort of translate that kind of into where might we be developing, what are the opportunities for us to build. So I do think that in both product teams and platform teams, product managers are useful, because in fact, you know, I'm still building a product. It's just kind of a bigger scale product. That being said, I do think that I look very, very closely for customer empathy as one of the things that I want my engineers to have when they come into my platform team. So, you know, they are going to do a lot of support for the people that are using their software. And one of the things that happens when you're building platforms is that you are both building a thing that you're probably using to some extent, right? Because, you know, you're building software for other engineers, you're an engineer, you probably are using that software. You see this a lot, especially in like software development tools teams that are, you know, because they're building the tools that they're using. And what tends to happen is that you get really, really deep into the understanding of those systems because you're an expert. That's what you're doing day in and day out. All you think about is Kubernetes or, you know, your build tools or, you know, your this storage system. And you know it so, so, so well. You know it like breathing. And sometimes engineers in that situation have a really hard time remembering that, like, even though their counterpart, the person who's using their software, is an engineer, they are not living and breathing those tools. They don't understand. They don't have this like perfect mental model of how Git works at its, you know, most finest grain level. They're not deep experts in distributed databases. And so what you want to make sure of when you're hiring for platform engineers is that you're hiring people who are not going to get terribly impatient with technical customers who don't have that perfect mental model and that have kind of that ability to step back from the work and take themselves out of their deep understanding and appreciate and kind of see what's good and bad about this from the point of view of someone who's technical, but not an expert in that. So I absolutely think that customer empathy, I mean, I think that's important, you know, really in modern engineering throughout, right? We're all building software for other people to use. But I do think that you can't neglect that in platform teams just because your customers are other engineers. I think the other thing, though, that one thing that absolutely is pretty different in most platform teams than product teams for in terms of engineering is that you do tend to build much longer running projects that have a lot more operational focus is really important, right? Because you're building these big long running systems where one of their key points of value is how well they operate, how stable they are, how performant they are, how long, you know, how good their uptime is, right? If you have a lot of outages, that causes a lot of issues. And for product development, sometimes that's a big deal, but sometimes it's less of a big deal, right? Like sometimes, you know, you're a product developer where what you do is really like you build prototypes and you just build lots and lots and lots of prototypes to figure things out. And taking that prototype from like greenfield to like something long-lived and stable, that may just not be your job, right? You know, and so thinking about the long-term stability of that prototype or, you know, that system that you're building, that product that you're building is not always the most important thing for a product, you know, application engineer, right? The most important thing there might be their ability to really work very closely with a product manager and kind of quickly turn a spec into, you know, something that people can actually like touch and play with and experience. Whereas for a platform engineer, that thinking into the future of how what you're building is going to be used for a long time, how is it going to be evolved over time? Are we going to take the old stuff and evolve it into the new stuff rather than saying, hey, you know, 1,000 people, you're using this old thing. We're just going to shut that down and you're going to all move to this new thing. And like, nobody likes that, right? So that's another kind of area that's somewhat different.
Right. With that said, I really want to get into this because I feel like it might be a subtle but big difference when it comes to hiring to kind of have that sort of, I think you said empathy, for your customers. And I just, if you care to share a story or any kind of tactic for how to watch out for this, if you're talking to an engineer, how to check out whether or not this engineer is going to be somebody with that kind of empathy.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think. We definitely try to tease this out in our interviews. I think a lot of the way you tease that in interviews is you ask people about times when they've been building something that another person on their team has used and, you know, had problems with it, right? And like, how did they kind of work with that person to understand like, okay, like you're trying to use this tool that I've built and it's not working. Why, you know, why isn't it working? Or, you know, sometimes asking them about like, how do they think about the processes or the software that they build in terms of the other people on their team and how those people are going to interact with that software, right? Because even if you're interviewing people who have never been platform developers, most people have worked on a team with other people writing code. And there's a sense of empathy that comes from like, am I trying to write code that other people can read, that other people can work on? And how have I approached helping other people on my team debug things in the past? How have I answered questions when somebody asks me for help, right? So I think it's a little bit more of a matter of like, do they understand that like part of the job is working with other engineers and like helping those engineers, not just, you know, sort of I have my work over here and I'm kind of like just focused on it. And like, if this person doesn't understand my code, who cares? It's my code and I'm building it, right? Those are some questions I'd have to like think for a few minutes to kind of like brush off some of the other questions that we've used. But it really sort of tends to be, tell me a story about somebody trying to use your system and they're having problems. You know, how do you kind of approach it when people ask you questions about your software? To start to tease out that sense of like, oh, seeing other people as like having a different perspective than I have about this software and being able to kind of shake myself out of that perspective and recognizing that it's an important part of the job to explain things to my colleagues. And that is actually like a really critical skill. It's not just about the code that I'm writing. Sometimes you just need to like shake yourself out of like that mindset, because there are people who are really just like, they love to write code. They're great engineers and they just are not particularly collaborative. And that's okay. Like, depending on what you're doing, you might have a team where that person will be excellent, but it's probably, for me at least, it's probably not going to be most of my platform engineering team, where they really do need to work closely with each other and with the customers to kind of build good things.
Right. Thank you. It seems as though we have touched on some of the differences between the priorities for platform teams and product teams. But to me, it sounds a little bit like the product team's priorities have to be driving the platform team's priorities. But then there might be some other business cases when this might not be the case. So if you could tell us a few things about how the priorities are different for the two teams and how they maybe communicate the differences between these priorities between themselves.
Yeah. So I think there's a few things. One thing is that the platform teams have to think about, so platform teams have to think about stability. And part of the job of platform teams is modernizing over time the platform in a way that is, I think, a little bit different than product teams in the way that they think about their software, right? So if my team isn't a little bit ahead of the demand for modern compute or storage or whatever that might be coming from the product teams, what will happen is that they will go off and either build their own thing or find their own solution. And sometimes that's okay, right? The modern cloud world definitely makes the role of the platform team a little bit different, because you're more of an enabler to cloud products. But even with the cloud, what I think people find, what teams find over time as they grow, is that it's a little bit too much anarchy to just have every single product team figuring out their own cloud stuff. And, you know, it's like figuring out how to make all those different cloud offerings work together in some kind of thing that they can maintain. And so at a certain company size, you tend to create these platform teams, even if you're fully in the cloud, where some of the goal is just like making it so the developers on every single product team don't have to think about what database should I choose, what storage system should I choose, should I be using, you know, GKE or Cloud Run or AKS or, you know, whatever, right? You know, like, which of these things should I be using and how do I string them all together? You tend to see that kind of coming into a platform team, but that means that the platform team needs to be regularly thinking about what are the new things coming that people are going to want? How do we make it so that they can adopt those, that we're kind of ready for them, or we're partnering with them at least in the early stages if they're kind of early adopters, so that we understand how to take those things into the platform, scale them, operate them well, give them features that customers for this company are going to need. So I think that platform engineers have to stay a little bit ahead on the kind of technology front to keep up with what the product teams are going to want. So in that sense, like, the platform sometimes actually drives the product teams, because then sometimes your job is like, hey, this super legacy bare metal machine that you have in a closet somewhere, that's very unstable, that's risky. We kind of need that out of the closet. We need it into our, you know, managed compute platform, right? We need you off of the super old version of the database. It has to be upgraded. Like, it's, you know, it's not secure, it's not supported. And so, you know, then you get to the flip side where platform does end up sort of giving work to product teams, because we have to be the engine of modernization. We also have to be the engine of, like, modernization for security and stability and reliability, you know, and just scalability, you know, reasons. And that means we're giving work back. I think it's definitely like a little bit of a tension, because sometimes I think product teams get very frustrated with the demands for upgrading and migrating. You know, nobody wants to upgrade their operating system. Nobody wants to be like, oh my God, you're gonna make me move from Python 2 to Python 3, right? You know, there's all these upgrades that, unfortunately, like, you've got to pave the roads, right? Or else you get potholes. And it's the same with your software. And that work often falls into the platform team to drive and to put on the product team's roadmaps. So I think it's important for platform teams to be very good at managing those kinds of migrations in a way that's as easy as possible for the product teams, as well as being out there with the product teams as they're looking to solve problems and helping to identify either how the platform can help them just, like, be focused on the business problem or the product that they're building versus the, like, underlying technology, or where we could bring in new kind of platform solutions to make those, you know, make those solutions better, faster, easier to implement.
Right. It also almost sounds like if you have a product team that's really on the forefront of new technologies and they're always trying to implement whatever new kind of release is on its way, then the platform team might be the team that kind of holds this back. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like the platform team needs to be the one to kind of balance this excitement for new technologies.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I think it totally depends on, like, the company and the team and the, you know, and all of that. But you're absolutely right that there are times when, like, unfortunately, the platform team gets into the position of being like, I'm sorry. And often this comes through, like, often there's a security element to this, right? Where it's like, I'm sorry, we haven't certified that brand new thing that you want to use. The security team hasn't had time to evaluate it, and we can't support it from a security perspective. And if you're a company that cares a lot about security, you become like, that pressure that says, I'm sorry, I know you're really excited about this, but you can't use it yet because it's not ready, you know, from a security perspective. On the flip side, like, I do think that, you know, and this is something that I'm continuing, where I think we do an okay job of, but we have a lot of work to do on in my current team, is like, how do you really, though, become an enabler? Like, I don't want to be a bottleneck. I don't want to be, if somebody is, like, excited about trying a new system, if they're excited about trying a new release, if they want to be on that cutting edge and they see value in that, I would rather be there with them and, you know, being, you know, at least letting them do it in some kind of safe way and learning from the experience. Because I do think that partnership with people who want to be cutting edge in things that might ultimately come into the platform is a great opportunity for the platform team to learn about, like, what is the value of this and what might the value of this be, not just for this team that wants to adopt it, but for everybody else at the company who's maybe, like, not even thinking about NoSQL databases, but, like, they should be because they're super useful and it's cool that this team wants to adopt, you know, Cassandra or whatever. Let's go partner with them. So they're going to be adopting it. We, the platform team, are going to be helping them. And sometimes that means you're going to be doing, like, some of the more boring work, maybe even, right? Learning how to operate and scale and install that for that team. But on the flip side, you're learning with that team about how it might be useful so that you can turn that really into an actual product that you offer as from a platform perspective more throughout the company. So I think it's a balance, right? Sometimes you're unfortunately in the position of saying no. Sometimes you're in the position of saying, let's partner. And so now we're learning. And sometimes when you do that partnership, you realize that this is a cool thing for this team only, and they should own it and continue to operate it for themselves, and that's fine. And sometimes you say, hey, this is awesome, and we want to take this and make it more broadly available, and so we'll do the work to make that happen. And, you know, thank you for letting us work with you, and we're going to make your lives easier in return.
How awesome. Thank you. Sounds so good. So right now, we have touched on some of this, and you make it sound like really grown up and responsible people work in your company and on all of your teams, and everybody is just understanding of other teams' needs and they all work together. But I feel like there might be some challenges in communications when it comes to assessing engineers' needs and engineers assessing other people's needs. So if you can shed some light on some of these challenges in communications, that would be interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, yes, of course, there are, you know, nothing is perfect, sunshine and rainbow. So there are lots of challenges. So frankly, like one challenge that you see is that sometimes product engineering teams, rightly or wrongly, do see platform as a bottleneck. Or sometimes even they see them as like I want to build this myself, right? So like, I'm a product engineer, I'm sort of bored with what I'm building. I want to like play around with like building a distributed database, or, you know, I want to play around with like this like totally new thing that really probably does belong in the platform. But like for me as an engineer, that would be fun. And so, you know, I think you frankly see a desire to kind of like hide it. Partly because you're like, oh, that's just going to add coordination and communication. It is like, right? Like anytime you have to cross or communicate, there is overhead to that, right? You know, we can do our best as leaders to make that easier, but like, you know, you got to talk to somebody that you don't sit next to or virtually sit next to, right? And you know, you don't work with them. They've got other things that they're working on. It's going to slow you down. You just want to like get something done and you want to play this technology and you think you're a great engineer and you are a great engineer. So you're like, I'm not going to involve platform. And then, you know, I think what often happens there is that, like, you know, teams will do those kinds of things and sometimes even build out pretty big shadow IT. Sometimes people call it, right, their own sort of shadow installations of things. And then they'll get tired of running it because it's like actually one of the downsides of being on a platform team is like you've got to run it forever and ever until you decommission it. And they're like, I don't want this anymore. So I'm just going to like platform team, take this from me. And that causes, I think, a lot of resentment and frustration on both sides, because on the one side, the product engineers who started this were like, look, we were trying to move fast. We knew what we needed. We didn't want to be slowed down. There was like no need to believe that this was the wrong path. But, you know, and the platform team is like, well, that's great. But like now you've built this thing that like you think we should take ownership of. We didn't have any hand in building it. It's not operable. It's like, we're going to have to do all of this work to make it useful beyond your team. And we're going to have to support it. And you just want to sort of throw it over the wall to us. And so that is a really, I think, very common breakdown that is almost impossible to like, it's just always going to happen a little bit, I think, at any kind of bigger company, just because people do want to like move fast and engineers don't always correctly estimate the like long-term cost of adding new platform elements. And so I think that's, you know, that's certainly something I see, continue to see occasionally. You know, the way I try to get around that is by getting out there and talking to people early and trying to be productively involved early. But, you know, we only have so many people, there's only so many platform engineers, only so many product managers, right? Like it's gonna happen. And that's a very common communication breakdown. I think another one that sometimes happens is the like, you know, the platform team just doesn't get looped in at the right times so that we can build ahead of what the product teams want. So like, you know, they don't loop the platform team in. And so they think that they have to use, I don't know, old systems A, B, and C to solve their problems. And they're just going to hack it together and like make it work. And then, you know, you find out about this project when it's launching and you're like, wow, like if you guys had talked to us, we actually have like something that's much better suited for what you're doing. And we would have loved to, you know, help you use that. But now like you're using, frankly, your own old stuff plus old stuff of ours that we kind of want to get rid of. And now you're even more invested in this stuff that's sort of at the tail end of its useful lifespan. And that, you know, that's another sort of common communication breakdown. And I think, you know, these definitely happen here and I'm sure everywhere, and they are very frustrating.
Right, right. It almost sounds like the platform team also has to be like a targeted communicator in that they have to tell the product teams what kind of solutions they have available so that these things don't happen very often. Thank you for sharing those. With that said, let's jump into leadership a little bit. I imagine there are probably differences in how to lead a product team than leading a platform team. And I don't know how much we should get into organizational differences, but if you could shed some light on how these two teams communicate with each other at Two Sigma, how much leads have to be involved in making any kind of change or anything like that?
We have various different ways that communication happens and, you know, kind of at different phases, right? So, for example, we, as a company, although we're changing this, but, you know, as a company in the past, we've done a lot of like yearly planning. So there's kind of a very somewhat heavyweight like yearly planning. And the product type teams at Two Sigma will have like a partner from my team that's kind of like there for the planning process and identifies any, you know, places where they're like, we have a request for the platform team to provide X, Y, or Z. And, you know, similarly, we will say to them like, hey, we're doing this migration. We need you to upgrade, you know, Python or whatever, right? And so like you need to put that in your plans, right? So there's kind of that like planning level coordination, which it works sort of. I think it works from platform to product better than it works from product to platform, because platform, you actually can sort of have a clear idea what you're going to do for a year because it just doesn't move as fast, right? You know, we're building big system, fewer big systems rather than lots of different smaller either features or products with, you know, with like the business users. And so like, it's just like a very different cycle of work. And so it's much easier for us to be like, yes, like in the next year and a half, we need to finish this Python upgrade, for example. So you've got to schedule it sometime in the next year and a half. It's much different than, oh, I just found out that in 3 months we want to launch whatever, you know, whatever product thing. And by the way, we really need like a high performance messaging queue to do that, let's say, right? So I do think, so that's like one way that communication happens. You know, there are, as I said, we do have product managers in throughout engineering, and the product managers are sometimes the place where that like leadership coordination on products happens. I think nobody, and I don't think any company ever has enough product managers for that to be the only place for it to happen, right? And particularly when, you know, when you're talking about like technology things, a lot of the coordination actually has a lot of like deep technical details that need to be understood to do it well. And product managers sometimes know those and sometimes don't. And so then you've got the engineering leads, the engineering managers, the tech leads, the senior ICs. So there are a lot of different places where this kind of coordination can happen. I do think it's, you know, it can be a lot of overhead, right? So the best is when, I think the best is when it's like a small team in a different organization reaches out to a small team in my organization, and they're able to like quickly communicate about exactly what they need and figure it out. Because the bigger the team and the higher, the more senior, like the coordination of work needs to be, it's inevitably going to be like slower and more bureaucratic and more complex.
Right. And it, I feel like that's a pretty common thing, that the more senior the person, the more removed they are from the actual problem. So they might not know as much and they might not have any kind of, you know, like idea of what's really needed. So just to clarify, my understanding is that like engineers are pretty free to talk to each other and to kind of request things from each other. And if, you know, they're sort of like new requests, they can just go ahead and talk to the platform team and say, you know, like, this is what we need.
Yeah, and I mean, look, like the team that they're talking to may very well say, we don't have the bandwidth to do this. And then it sort of turns into a, you know, it sometimes has to be escalated because the team that they want something from is like, we're so slammed with everything that we're working on that we cannot address this. But I absolutely, I mean, I want there to be flexibility for my teams to kind of like meet their partners and what they are asking for and satisfy those needs, you know. I think like it should be a balance. If you're constantly getting one-off requests, that's probably not a good working model. And that sort of means that, like, you need to have a longer conversation. You need to figure out, like, all right, what are you trying to do so that we can actually, like, plan ahead for meeting all the things that you might need from us. But I do think that it's important for engineers to keep a little bit of slack in their calendars and schedules and realize that, like, you know, sometimes the right thing to do is, like, deprioritize maybe a longer running piece of work to just get something done to unblock another team. I don't think that's a platform product. I think it's like in any kind of teams where you just have, like, cross dependencies or you're helping one another. Like, it is really important that you leave slack enough to, you know, change your priorities so that you can meet people when there's something that you really need to unblock for them.
Right. Thank you. One thing that came to mind is that platform teams are not, like, as common. Of course, there are product teams pretty much everywhere because every company is building something for its customers. And you mentioned that there is a certain size at which a company should think about establishing a platform team. How do you think companies should go about this? Or if there are engineering leaders listening to us, what kind of things should they consider when they think about starting up a platform team?
It's going to be really different depending on the size and age of your company. Because, for example, sometimes companies don't exactly have a platform team. Like, a smaller startup might not necessarily have a platform team, but they might have a team that actually kind of is platform plus, like, really core share services, business services, but that are really core to everything. So at Rent the Runway, for example, some of the core services around, like, taking reservations or, like, adding products to the product catalog, those are, like, pretty well established core back-end services at some point. And they didn't really necessarily make sense to be owned by, like, a product-focused, strategic product-focused team. They kind of made sense to more be owned by, like, a team that was doing, you know, that was owning those, making sure they were, like, operating and scaling, and then also thinking about other kind of maybe platform-ish elements, like the storage systems that were being used, or, again, like, sometimes you get, like, the DevOps or SRE comes into being part of that team, right? So that's, like, kind of one way that you see companies sometimes evolve, is to say, oh, all right, like, we really do have certain, like, very core services to this business that lots and lots and lots of different product teams all end up interacting with. And those need to be owned by a centralized-ish team. And that centralized team then starts to take on more kind of functionality. Sometimes it comes through the, I think, like, the DevOps SRE side of the house, where it's like, we've decided that we want to invest in people who are really good at scaling and operations and stability, reliability. And they start to build out more, like, tooling and actually offering platforms themselves that, you know, meet those needs. And then they kind of grow to adopt more of that. So sometimes it evolves from that angle. You know, I would say that, like, a lot of it really is, like, a scale thing. You know, if you feel like you just have a lot of overhead, if you look across all of your groups and you see that you've got, you know, one or two people in every group that are trying to wrangle with, like, your cloud integrations, like, they're trying to figure out, like, how to make cloud things A, B, and C all work together. And it's kind of very similar stuff. You know, at some point you say, like, I don't need to have 10 people across 10 teams doing that. I could have 5 people in one team supporting all the rest of those teams and free up 5 other people to just, you know, kind of be more product focused. So, you know, I do think that, you know, you're going to be looking for, like, there's their leverage to centralizing some things that we understand that by centralizing it, we might slow down the evolution and we might add some coordination. But we think that the coordination overhead of having that centralized thing is outweighed by either the reliability increases or, you know, just the, like, giving back bandwidth to people to focus on their business problems and their product problems and not be thinking about how to operate Kubernetes.
Right. That's a wonderful essence of what you just said. You know, like, maybe you shouldn't be thinking about operating Kubernetes. You should be thinking about the product you're engineering. I love that. Awesome. So we talked a lot about platform teams and product teams and how to lead them and how to kind of get the nitty-gritty of the communications out of the way and the prioritization and how to keep a good balance for security and within the company, between the teams, so they can all be on the same page. One more thing that came to my mind is if someone is looking into becoming an engineer on a platform team, what sort of steps should they take? Where should they start this journey of becoming a really great platform engineer?
Yeah. I think that, like, if you want to do platform engineering, certainly, like, you're going to want to be getting into more of, like, the probably there's a lot of, like, open source that you can sort of learn about, right? I mean, I've mentioned names, right? Open source products like Kubernetes is, like, a really big part of sort of compute platforms and orchestration are a big part of what I think a lot of companies think about when they talk about platform. Envoy is another product in that world, right? Storage systems, understanding how, maybe even understanding how things like Spark work or kind of modern distributed compute above the level of Kubernetes, databases, right? Data storage systems, NoSQL systems, Cassandra, things like that, right? So I think there's, like, there's just a sort of, like, interest in kind of that layer of the software, right? That you sort of need to be kind of interested in that interface between the software and the machine, and that may be a virtual machine, right? You may not be thinking about, like, spinning disks or, SSD read times anymore because you're in the cloud, but, like, are you actually interested in kind of understanding the different performance characteristics and trade-offs of how those underlying systems actually work and how, when you might use them and might not use them? I think that's a really important part of being a good platform engineer. I do think, like, understanding distributed systems is a pretty key component of understanding, thinking about building reliable systems, understanding kind of foundations of, like, reliability and operability and, what are, SLOs and SLAs, like, nobody's an expert in that stuff. Well, I'm sure there are a few people who are experts in that stuff. I think more people talk about them than really understand them because they're actually really challenging concepts, I think, to, like, put into practice. But, learning about those sort of concepts of how do you measure availability and how do you think about, how do you think about designing systems for trade-offs of scale and availability and reliability? I think those are all, those are all important elements to it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This is really great stuff. And I think some people who are maybe thinking about starting a platform team or starting in a platform team can take a lot of good stuff out of this conversation. Is there anything else that you would like to add that is important and we haven't touched on?
I do think that if you want to be a really great platform engineer, there is a point in time where you have to realize that, like, some of your job really is taking the old and moving it to the new. And it's not just about the new and it's not just about the old. And that can be, I think, there's a patience element to platform that is different than product engineering, right? And I think you can build big, very interesting things, but you can't, platform teams fail when they, so, like, I think what we haven't talked about really is, like, how platform teams fail. And what I definitely have seen in various places, very many companies have this problem, is that, like, the platform team is just like, Kubernetes is cool, so you should use it, right? Or whatever the new latest and greatest thing is, we're building an offering for that because it's the latest and greatest. And we're not even thinking about, like, what we already have, what people are already using, how they might move from what they're using to where what we're building. And you don't have to think about that necessarily as the very first thing you think about, but, like, that is part of the job. Like, the job is not just make a new thing work and then say, here it is, folks, use it. Like, it is make a new thing work, get some people using it, learn from what's going wrong, and then look at the long tail of people who are using all of your old stuff and start to think about how you're going to move them into the new thing. And what are the carrots you're going to offer them in terms of, like, why is this new system better? Because it's work for them to do that migration. How are you going to make the migration as easy as possible? Maybe sometimes even do it for them, right? So I think that that ability to be patient and kind of think things through over longer periods of time than your typical more product engineering focused, application engineering focused work, that's a pretty important characteristic for platform engineers and platform teams that people really do sometimes, I think, underestimate and overlook. And that causes a lot of failures for projects and teams.
Thank you so much for the word of warning for all the teams out there. This is something that I probably would have overlooked in this conversation. So thank you for sharing that piece of insight. We are coming to the end of our conversation. Platform teams are pretty great, it sounds like, and there is a point in time when product companies probably need to have a platform team, even if they don't call it that. And you are out there on the internet to spread the knowledge of platform teams. Where can our listeners follow your work? First of all, buy her book, ladies and gentlemen. Secondly, yeah. Where can our listeners follow you?
I tweet some. So Skamil, Skamille is my Twitter handle. I do have a blog that sort of lives in various places, but Medium is one of the places that gets a lot of my blogging work. I sometimes write for The Lead Dev, which is a conference and publication that I have been sort of a participant in for on and off for a long time. So, you know, those are some places that you can find my writing and my work. I don't, you know, I'm kind of intermittently doing things, but I try to write at least a few times a year. So
thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, today my guest was Camille Fournier, and she is the Managing Director for Platform Teams at 2 Sigma. She's been my guest twice before, so if you want to listen to even more of her knowledge, then go ahead and check out the previous episode on Level Up Engineering. Thank you, Camille, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
I am Carolina Toth, and I definitely hope to see you next time.
Thanks for staying with us. This was the Level Up Engineering Podcast by Apex Lab. Check them out at apexlab.io. And don't forget to subscribe to our channel, rate our content, and share your thoughts on this episode. See you next time.